Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, October 1st, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Oh, Melody.
October
1. Yeah, I know. There were conspiracy theories out that something was going to happen on September 30th or October 1st, and something dramatic. I don't know. It hasn't been reported to me yet, so.
Well, I don't know. You've got Ebola down there in your territory.
Yeah, I don't think that's
and
talking about them.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that in a little bit. But gold today, I'm not quite sure what it's reacting to, whether it's, you know, it was just a quick flash because the Dow Jones was down, the markets were down. But you have gold up $6. We'll take it at $1,215. You have silver up 22 cents at $17.29. Your platinum down 16 at $12.88, and palladium up 6 at $781. The USDX today is trading. Let's see where it's trading. 85.92. It was over 86 once again today, and continues to fall back. You have crude oil down 0.25 at 90.91, and you have the paper markets today. Wall Street's glorious paper markets, and you know it's interesting. You know they're all concerned. You know they're going to blame the global unrest and economic growth. And I'll tell you what, I think we're in the past year we've certainly had much more severe global unrest at one point in time and economic growth. And of course they're talking about the demonstrations that they're having in Hong Kong. But you have the Dow down 238 points today at 16,804 points. You have the NASDAQ down 71 at 44.22 and the S&P down 26 at 19.46. And the 10-year yield 2.40%. Very interesting there, down 0.10. So, interesting day in the markets, and we'll be talking about those markets here in just a little bit. We have Wendy Wilson joining us from the Apothecary Herbs, as she does each and every Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Hello, Wendy.
Well, maybe she isn't here yet. Maybe they're having a little bit of technical problems, and hopefully today she's going to be talking about Ebola. And, you know, I've noticed the drug stocks, I mean, the surge, and the one particular drug company that provides the Ebola vaccine, so to speak, and the research and development of it, I mean, it's up like over 100% in just 3 months. And certainly it's, you know, it makes you kind of scratch your head and wondering if this is what's all behind the scares and the announcements and so forth. But we'll talk about that after the break. I believe Wendy Wilson is now joining us.
Hello, Wendy.
Hello, Al. Hello, Melody. How are you?
Just fine. Awesome. Even though I'm down here in Dallas, I'm still okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, interesting times, huh, Al?
Yeah, interesting times.
Mm-hmm.
So what's up today?
Well, I know the Ebola is on everybody's mind, and we may get to that, but I wanted to talk about something that people may not be aware of that is new research is kind of shedding some light on, and it's really the new kind of mold. It's really a man-made mold. Now, we're familiar with people having to move out of their homes or remodel if their homes get a bunch of mold in there, but we're not talking about that mold. I'm not talking about athlete's foot fungi or jock itch or any of that stuff. What I'm really talking about is what 2 million Americans have acquired inside their bodies, and it's suspected that it could be caused by antibiotic treatments. Okay? So what happens is the pharmaceutical companies, they create the antibiotics from organic matter consisting of living organisms, and they most often pick mold and fungi, depending on the organism, to make the antibiotic from. So, and what they do is they'll take this organic matter and they ferment it. And this process is actually, it was inspired by an old Chinese process dating back 2,500 years. It was based on a bowl of moldy soybean curd that the Chinese used to treat certain conditions. But, you know, soy is not the only raw ingredient that they'll use to grow mold and fungi on. They also use things like molasses and any actually organic source that is considered to have a nitrogen or carbon base they can grow the mold and fungi on. And this is needed for the proper growth of the organisms. So now to prevent foaming during the fermenting process, they'll add some agents, maybe silicon or some sterile alcohol. So in the fermenting process, the drug companies, it speeds it up. So they can make 10,000 different antibiotic substances in large quantities in less time. And sometimes they have to add other solvents to purify the product, but it just depends on what they're making. So typically when we get mold spores, we sometimes breathe them in or we absorb them into the bodies. And what happens is the mold can attack certain systems depending on the organic nature of the mold. So for a majority of the cases, though, the mold creates sensitivity issues and allergies. And they also think this is what spiked so much autoimmune disease and allergies is the overuse of antibiotics. So when the mold spores get concentrated enough, well, the immune system will attack those spores, the antigens, and antibodies create that allergic reaction. Now, fungi spores like to invade and go really deep into the tissue, like your lungs, your blood, your bones, and other organs, and even it can even cause meningitis, like spinal cord or brain meningitis. And some forms of the fungi can change forms depending on the environment they're in. For example, Al, they can become yeast. And most mold and fungi exposures are thought to be from the environment. But what if they're being introduced through antibiotics? It would explain the common yeast infections people are getting when they're taking a course of antibiotics, and even those who suffer from a condition called lupus, which is an autoimmune response that's out of balance. Right?
So we've got a what-if situation here, and we'll need to talk about what are the probabilities that this may or may not be true. But just to clarify, see if I understand this correctly, you're saying that because they create these antibiotics with some sort of, by fermenting some sort of yeast or mold, excuse me, not yeast, that when they create the antibiotics, they remain contaminated with some of the mold that was used to create the antibiotic. Is that the problem?
Yeah, you can't get anything 100% clean. I mean, you can take any purified cosmetic that's supposed to be, you know, hyperallergenic, and you look at it under a stronger microscope, it's filthy. You know, and they found the same thing when they made the first vaccines back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. They said these were clean and sterile. Well, 20, 30 years later, they had taken them out of the freezer, looked at them, and they're filthy because they had stronger, more powerful microscopes. But I'm not the one that's saying this. This is according to some research by Gary Huffengale of the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. He says our friendly gut floras that the antibiotics destroy, he says that's part of the immune system defense. He says that the gut flora is really an arming agent for your immunity. So that old adage that all disease begins in the bowel seems to be accurate. Now, according to this research, he says antibiotics are creating more allergic responses in humans and at a more acute level. So there seems to be a correlation in the research between the number of and the potency, the number and the potency of antibiotics being used and the 160% increase in global cases of asthma over the last 20 years. So now the Germans did a study. And they showed that allergic conditions and asthma were higher after the wall came down in the West, where antibiotic treatments were widely used. And then there's this other study that they were doing with mice to prove that antibiotics create a yeast condition in the body, and it affects the body's ability to deal with mold spores, as apparently it corrupts the immune system response that's supposed to deal with mold. So when the researchers looked at the gut floras of the mice, and they also were really impressed with their lung tissue, because apparently the mice, the mold that was in the antibiotic that destroyed their gut floras also shredded their lung tissue. It's interesting. So
not much
now,
of
listen,
a trade-off, then, is it?
Well, the research
you're going to get your lung tissue shredded in order to accomplish some other beneficial result, that's probably not a good choice.
Well, I think antibiotics have become a double-edged sword. I think, you know, I know they've saved lives over the years, but, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, was abused, and now we're paying the price. Now, this research actually
is, part of the price is that the microorganisms that we're trying to destroy with antibiotics have in fact developed resistance to antibiotics.
Yep.
And we're having a problem where the things that we're trying to destroy are perhaps becoming immune to antibiotics, but are the flora in the gut that we want, are they developing any immunity to antibiotics, or are antibiotics still effective at stopping the good stuff but not so effective at stopping the bad stuff?
Well, it's, you know, kind of what Dr. Lance Price, he's a microbiologist at the George Washington University, he said this: Alexander Fleming discovered penicillin in 1928. He said the bacteria are kind of like this river flooding over man, and Fleming figured out how to build a dam to control those waters, but soon they came up over the wall. So we built it higher and higher until we ran out of bricks. And antibiotics that are being used in the animal production areas of animal husbandry, he says, is the jackhammer knocking away at the bottom of this dam. And here's the thing. There's like 30 million pounds of antibiotics are sold to be used in the animal industry, the animal husbandry farm industry.
Yep.
And this is also being used in the food source. Now, this is more antibiotics being used on animals than is being dispensed to humans overall.
The reason would be is they are using the antibiotics preventively. They're not they're not waiting until a cow develops a fever before they give it antibiotics. You and I don't take antibiotics until after the fact. We become sick, we take antibiotics. We call a doctor and say, oh, we got a problem. The doctor says, here, take a shot. The cow can't tell us it has a problem, and the farmer is there for us saying, well, I'm going to give you a shot whether you need it or not.
Right. And, you know, all this research has been presented to the American Society of Microbiology way back in 2004, and they haven't really done anything. But you'll find this interesting, Al. The Netherlands, they also bought into the quick fix with antibiotics in the animal husbandry field. But in 2011, they started to see if they could reverse the bacterial resistance by eliminating the regular use or the preventative use of antibiotics on their farm animals, and they would only use it when the animal showed signs of being sick. And their results were very positive. They were able to lower the animal infections by 20% by 2012, and then the antibiotic resistance dropped to 5.8%. And they also saw an improvement in the Dutch population as well. Humans were doing better. And Laura Rogers, she's the director of Pew Charitable, she says that if we followed a similar path that they did in the Netherlands, the United States could see significant reductions in dangerous bacteria in people and in animals. Yep.
What this implies is that if we stop injecting the animals with the antibiotics, we no longer have the antibiotics, the microorganisms that are immune to the antibiotics no longer have a competitive edge, and the ordinary microorganisms can kind of overwhelm them and at least minimize their presence.
Well,
we're eliminating the competition for the immune microorganisms by regularly using antibiotics. We're helping them.
Oh, I know. Well, and the thing is this thing in the Netherlands just proves how wonderful the immune system bounces back, you know. And so if you just give it a chance, it can you know, rebound from all that suppression that the antibiotics give. But, you know, pharmaceutical companies, it costs them about $1 billion to make a drug product that's an antibiotic and bring it to market. So in order for them to recoup some of that, they do flood the market, especially the agricultural market, with the drugs. So that's what that's all about. So it's something people have to realize. Yeah, people have to realize, you know, you can empower your immune system because, you know, those bugs are resistant to the drugs, but not to natural immunity. So just heighten your immune system, give it some help, use some immune boosting herbs, and that's what we're about at Apothecary Herbs. So they can always call and ask about our immune boosting products, and we do have a pandemic kit. Al, I think you might need one. Yeah.
I've been thinking about it. We're watching to see if we get up to 1,000 people infected with Ebola down here in Dallas within the next week. You're going to be selling a lot of those pandemic kits.
I sold several today, in fact. So people are noticing. And, you know, that's good for cold and flu. I mean, even if the pandemic, you know, hopefully flies by us and we don't have a problem, you know, you could still use the kit for cold and flu and get over that in 2 days. Forget the, weak thing. Get better in 2 days.
I just saw a video that appears credible where someone's analyzing a report from Fort Detrick, Maryland, or Fort Meade, I don't recall, but in any case, on Ebola. And they point out that it is every bit as infectious. This report came out in 2012. They say it was every bit as contagious as
Influenza
A. All right?
Yep.
And it is more contagious, according to them. They suspect it's more contagious in the cold weather than in the warm, which means winter should be a special fun here in the United States coming up shortly. Wanted to give people quick notion, where can they call you, where can they find it?
Sure. Website is thepowerherbs.com. That's where you're going to get your power, thepowerherbs.com. They can call us toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Until next week, guys, have a good one.
You too. It's Wendy Wilson from PowerHerbs.com. We're going to take a break for some commercials. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, every once in a while you hear a story that just really disturbs you, and I do have a special. And this has nothing to do with gold, Ebola, the economy, or whatever. And I'm only going to spend 2 seconds on it. But, I mean, again, it's just, to me, it's in your face. California, Central California, they're searching for one or more suspects who broke into a Foster Farms chicken ranch. Now, this is really disgusting.
Chicken rustlers, huh?
No. They killed more than 900 birds with a golf club. Okay. Now, I mean, you've got to be seriously sick.
And either that or a teenager.
900 birds is a lot. I mean, you still have to be psychopathic.
Is a driver or a wood or what?
No. Well, that just disturbed me. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. I mean, who in their right mind? And of course, they don't have a right mind. But the listeners can be in their right mind if they pick up our Mint State 63 $20 gold pieces today for $1,450. This is based on the price on yesterday before gold went up today, $1,450. We do have a limited supply at that price. So, Mint State 63 $20 gold pieces, St. Gaudens, mixed states are some 27s, 08 no mottos, 1924s. I love the 08 no mottos, but give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I believe these are also certified by PCGS. Now, it is our discretion in order to provide either or PCGS or NGC, but the ones I think I have in are PCGS. We'll try to get those to you, but you got to give us a call. So great buy. Visit our website at DGScoins.com. DGScoins.com. Amazon. Everybody talks about Amazon. Maybe they're ahead of the game when you talk about drones delivering products, Al, but they're looking to close a distribution center. And all you hear is about how great Amazon is, how great the online buying is, how everybody's going online to buy, 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 buy. Well, they're closing a distribution center in southeast Kansas in February. And that move is expected to affect hundreds of workers. This is coming from the Seattle-based online retailer. They said that today in an email today. And that's going to, you know, it's going to affect a lot of people in southeast Kansas. So that is coming, and that, and Amazon is one of the area's largest employers. So even though their workforce can fluctuate due to seasons and things like that, it's still going to be a pretty hefty, I believe, hefty impact on that area. So another sign of the time, things are not getting better in this country. We also have in Stockton, California, I lost my employees. We know Stockton, the city of Stockton in California, is bankrupt, could be forced, employees of the city could be forced to take a 60% pension cut.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's enormous. I mean, it makes all, that's incredibly, and in my opinion, it's nothing like what we're going to see.
No.
I'm willing to bet you that before this is done, you're going to see at least 80%, maybe 90% pension cuts for people who still get pensions. Just because it's my guesstimate that that's what's going to happen. The value of U.S. Treasuries are going to be repudiated or hyperinflated, one or the other, but the value is going to be, purchasing power is going to be badly diminished, and I'd say by 80 to 90% before this is over. I think a 60% cut in pension funds, even though it's just one city in California, this is a sign of the times. This is an indication of where we're going to be a year from now, 2 years from now. We get one city today, we'll have 10 next spring, and you know, following year you'll have 50 or 100. We'll watch and see.
And you know what's funny? The same people who sell these bonds, and a key creditor, Franklin Templeton Investments, so the same people who manage these accounts across this country, they say the pension payments are fair game as they try to collect on an unsecured $32.5 million claim against their city, against the city. So, you know.
Well, let me see if I understand this correctly. I don't have the article in front of me where I can read it. I think you're saying that the city of Stockton owes a substantial amount of money to this one outfit.
To Franklin Templeton Investments, yeah.
And Franklin Templeton Investments says that they can get that money out of the pension fund?
They said it's fair game.
It's not protected. It's not isolated. If the city owes it and the city...
Well, the Stockton attorney, well, the whole case, the bankruptcy case, centers around whether Stockton's payments to the California Public Employees Retirement System are off limits. That's what they're fighting for.
Yeah.
All to the creditors. And these people say, hey, we were, and you know, you get these numbers, 32 million, 42 million, 100, you know, that you'll see across. And what if this gets, hey, if pension payments are fair game, you know, people don't.
Well, then they're in great jeopardy.
Absolutely.
And what do you think Stockton, how is Stockton fighting on this? Now, I'm going to presume that Stockton is saying, oh, no, they're not fair game. Is it Stockton's, the city of Stockton, that's saying this, or is it only the union representing the Stockton municipal employees?
Well, it's the Franklin Investments that are saying that the pensions are fair game. You have the city that is trying.
Who is?
Well, the federal judge. I mean, it's in court now, and the federal judge is rejecting the reorganization of plant. And I don't have the minute details on this, but it's at the federal level. The federal judge rejects its reorganization plan, and a lawyer for the city today said that in a case that could clarify who gets paid first by financially strapped cities around the country, retirement funds or creditors. So, I mean, this is the case that will probably decide the impact on retirement funds. Who gets paid? Retirement funds or creditors?
Well, if they rule that the creditors can get their money out of the pension funds,
then
I doubt that you can point to a pension fund in this country that's not at risk.
That's right.
Oh, you can probably find a few that, but not public pension funds. I've got an article here, public pension funds face $2 trillion shortfall. Moody's warns in its latest report on the state of the public pension fund system that, quote, despite the robust investment returns since 2004, they've been making a good buck on their returns, annual growth in unfunded pension liabilities has outstripped these returns. The top 25 pension funds account for 40% of the entire U.S. public pension system, with Illinois, Kentucky, Connecticut, and Louisiana at the top of the most underfunded list. According to Bloomberg, these 25 pension systems averaged a 7.45 return from 2004 to 2013. Now, 7.5% return on investment sounds good, right? And that's what they're talking about. And they're saying despite robust investment returns, they're making a good return on their investment. But the problem, they explain in the next sentence, they say during the same period, liabilities tripled, leaving those pension funds with a $2 trillion shortfall as investment returns can't keep up with ballooning obligations. According to Moody's, despite robust investment returns, 2004 annual growth has outstripped these returns. The growth is due to inadequate pension contributions. It's like me saying, look, I got a great investment here. I've invested $100 in the investment, and I'm making 7.5% on my investment. Well, that's good investment, but $100 doesn't amount to anything. What they're saying is they haven't been putting enough pension contributions into the pensions. And by they are probably talking about state and local governments that are in charge of handling the money to put into the employees' pension funds, and they haven't been putting it there. Or in the alternative, maybe the employees themselves haven't been making adequate deposits into their pension funds. And the result is $2 trillion shortage. Huh? So these are for public pension fund liabilities. And beyond this, pension fund liabilities are crowding out spending for governmental services, roads, and schools. In other words, we have to make a choice here whether we're either going to pay the pensions or we're going to continue to fund our schools, repair our roads, and provide basic governmental services like police and fire department. What are we going to do, Melody? Are we going to fund the pensions or are we going to provide the services?
I think I'm going to have to go with the services.
Yeah, I know. You can't let houses burn down. I mean, I don't care what happens, which means the people that are relying on these pensions are in significant peril.
And the taxpayers. How high does your property taxes have to go to in order to help with some of these schools and roads and so forth? It can only go so high. So they have to get it from somewhere.
Especially
and you have these trillions of dollars sitting there. It might be $2 trillion underfunded, but there's still a lot of money there that they're not going to let go. That's what I've been saying all along. They're going to get it one way or another. They're not going to let that money sit there, go to the retirees. It's pension funds. I don't care if it's state, local, corporate, whatever. They're not going to let that money sit there. We have a caller.
Yeah, we do. Daniel. Mm-hmm. Hello, Daniel. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Melody?
Just fine.
It's fine. What you got for us?
Hey, here we go. I just have a question about this New World Order. Have you ever cleaned a stock tank out with catfish in it?
No, I haven't cleaned a stock tank with catfish in it. I can tell you, no, I have not.
Well, what you do down here is you get that bulldozer man, you got to get the sediment out, and he makes a dam, you take all the catfish, put it in another stock tank so you keep your stuff and clean it out. Everybody that I know in America and all the United States living down here in Texas, isn't it funny if you were cleaning a stock tank out, you put them all in one place, you'd make it great, you'd have your governor telling everybody that, come on, y'all come on. You know, prices go up on land, and it's hard to make a living. But you have all these people. I followed 1 2 miles out of Wisconsin just to get on the highway. Now then, all of a sudden, all the other countries in Europe have blocked anyone coming from those African nations. And all of a sudden now, they land over there, and they're in Dallas, Al. And
yeah,
they found one, and now they got another one that probably infected 19 other people they're claiming now.
Yeah.
Okay? So all these people are flocking down here to the south. And if you notice, the government, whenever they do something, it's always in the south, the backyard, while they sit up there in their ivory tower. Detroit's gone to crap. Look at it all around there. But everybody's piling up in one end of the park. And so where else to do it? It's always the south. I remember a long time ago that Colombian shooting in Colorado, that little girl they interviewed said, well, I can see that going on in the south, but not up here. Well, it's all the south. The south is their backyard. And anything they're going to pull is down here. And carpetbaggers come down here and butt up. So, anyhow, that's just what I'm saying. I mean, I've studied the New World Order, too, Al. I know what's going on. But I'm not fear-mongering about it. I'm just saying that's what happens down here in the South. Yep.
On one level, it keeps people tough.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, on one level, it keeps people tough. That may be kind of a half-joking, half-cynical opinion, but... You know, at least you're not all everybody in the South. Not everybody in the South is on welfare.
The last people, you know, the first people. Now I've got more people from California moving up here, right next door. There, you know, there's good people. There's different. They wanted to change everything around here. Austin is full of a bunch of freaks from other countries, California. But now I've got another one. I haven't met him yet, but I plan on it. But, you know, it's like, good grief. I mean, where does it stop? You know, we had a good thing going. If they come from unions, union money, she told me, oh, that's great. I'm from California. I bought this, you know, whole place for this much money. It would have cost me this much money just to have a penthouse, you know, in California. But look at everything I got. For what I had, you know, bring all my money down here, spending. Well, guess what? I guess they, you know, everybody's down here. They're like putting all the fish in one end of the stock tank. So, I don't know what this Obama, whatever you call it.
Well, we don't know exactly either. We can watch these circumstances, and sometimes you wonder, are they just stupid? Are they just wicked? Are they treasonous? And are we fools to put up with it?
No, they're not. They're not stupid. No. They are very smart.
I don't think they are either.
They're not stupid.
They're doing
they're
it to us intentionally. The question is, how long do we let them get away with it?
Okay.
Daniel, we got to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Thank you, Daniel. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, it is frustrating. You know, we have what's going on down where you're at, and there's so many questions, and it's like, how are they handling it? I mean, here you a guy who goes to the hospital, tells them where he was located, where he came back from. And they let him float around for 2 days. Now they say, oh, well, you know, if you're not exhibiting any symptoms, you're not contagious. He went to the damn hospital. Darn hospital.
Wasn't recognized. I don't necessarily blame the hospital for that. They probably didn't imagine he could. In theory, they didn't imagine that he could have had Ebola. They can't assume that everyone who walks into the hospital with a fever has Ebola.
But he told him where, supposedly, he told him where he was from.
I get that. I get
that
it.
That would
it
be a clue.
You know, as we were talking over the during the break, they're not releasing this guy's name.
No.
Right?
Or where he's
this
from.
This is infuriating to me. I want to know if I've shook this guy's hand in the last 10 days. Now, in fact, I know I haven't, but put his picture up on the television, put his name there, because they are looking for the people he may have had contact with. Well, there's some people that they can't find or identify. There's some people who, if they saw his image on television, say, I talked to that guy back, 4 days ago, 5 days ago. Yeah, I remember he was here in my restaurant, or whatever. Now, it opens the door for some confusion, people overreacting, and they say, yeah, I think I sat with this guy or something, I shook his hand, and maybe they're wrong about that. But to my mind, they're alleging he has some right to privacy. He is carrying a disease that might be, if you can believe some of the reports, this is perhaps the basis for what may be an extraordinary pandemic. We may actually be on the right here. And they're saying, well, we got to protect people's privacy. No, we don't. We need to identify these people. We need to identify everyone they've had contact with. And I mean now. And I don't care if you have to. This is a situation that makes martial law.
Yeah.
Reasonable. All right? This is no game. There are computer estimates, computer projections from the Center for Disease Control, which I did not agree with, and I still don't agree with, but I'm not as firm in that disagreement as I was a couple of days ago. I thought it was exaggerated. They project that Ebola could spread to as many as 1,400,000 people by January of next year. That's 3-4 months from now. If it can go from a few thousand to 1.4 million in a matter of several months, that's all, then this stuff is going to sweep the globe. This is going to kill people in numbers that have never before been seen. If that computer projector, if it can move that fast in 4 months, it can sweep the globe in a year. And what I'm seeing is here they are fooling around and they're saying, oh, wait, we have to protect somebody's privacy. What? You're out of your damn mind. We have to protect the people in this country against a disease that could kill millions of us. And it might kill tens of millions if you can believe the CDC's estimate. I am skeptical of that CDC computer projection. But if it turns out that it's correct, this stuff, this is more trouble than any of us have ever before seen on this earth. This is as bad or worse than World War III.
We have a caller, Al.
Hello, Henry.
Hello.
Hi, Henry.
How you got? What you got for us?
Well, I had a question about the Ebola virus. I looked it up, and the CDC or the government has a patent on the Ebola virus and all kinds of it. Doesn't that make them kind of like ownership of it? I mean, couldn't they be held liable for the damage that letting it out has caused?
That's a real interesting question. If you own it, hey, you guys, you got the patent on it, get it out of here. And if you can't get it out of here, you pay for death that's caused by it.
Exactly. I have a child, and if that child damages someone's property, I pick up the tab.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know what else the government has?
I haven't heard anybody talking about it.
No, but it's a good idea. You know as well as I do the government's going to shuck and jive on that. But I heard the same thing last night on another radio program that we do on Tuesday nights. Frank Steffen, our producer, he pointed out, he mentioned that the government has the patent on Ebola, which is just astonishing to me. But I'm going to make you bet that they've also got the patent on the vaccine to deal with Ebola, if whatever they've got for a vaccine, if it even works. I mean, this is the kind of thing where people are going to make money off this deal, and they don't care if people get sick or not. Some people are just saying, let's make a bunch of money. It's insane.
Right,
it's insane. It's insane.
Now, if they're making money on it, could they be held liable and have to pay these families any money
vaccine? Yeah, that's like trying to get Obama to show us his real birth certificate. Do I agree that he should show us? Yes, I do. Do I think he's going to? No, I don't. You know, how do you hold the government liable for this kind of treason? Not financially liable. You know, I mean, nothing's impossible, but that's a challenge.
Well, also, the mainstream media, they haven't even mentioned about the patent on it, on who owns the patent.
I understand that.
And I don't think you will hear it.
Well, yeah, it's part of the reason why less and less people are listening to the mainstream media. They're losing market share. They're still in business, but not to the extent they were 20 years ago in terms of market share. They are being sidelined and increasingly relegated because people realize they're not getting straight information. They're not getting the news they need. They're getting the news that the government or whoever thinks we need. So.
Yeah,
what else you got for us, Henry?
Anything else, Henry?
That was it.
All right, Henry. Thanks very much for listening, and thanks for your call. That was Henry from Oklahoma. What else have we got, Melody?
Well, you know what?
7, 8 minutes.
Tecmara Pharmaceuticals, they surged over 18% today, and that's giving it a 180% increase since mid-July. And this is the you're going to see that on all your pharmaceuticals. And this is a Vancouver-based company that has a kind of a leg up on the competitors because last month the FDA, isn't that interesting? Just last month, the FDA gave it a green light to provide its experimental TKM Ebola drug to test subjects with confirmed or suspected Ebola virus infections. So that the people that have already been here, like the American missionary, they were given the drug last month, before they were released from the one guy that was released from a hospital in Nebraska. So, you know, hey, 180% since July, that's a pretty nice
Return on investment. I agree with that. But you know what it reminds me of is the movie Dr. Strangelove out of the 1960s. I don't know how many people remember it, but Peter Sellers and a number of different, maybe David Niven, if I recall correctly. There were a number of stars that were, and it was well done. Stanley Kubrick, if I recall correctly, directed. Really a great motion picture, but it's about a doomsday machine. And the Russians created a doomsday machine where if anybody launched a nuclear missile, it would set up a doomsday machine and would destroy the whole world. Well, the United States didn't know about it. Some crazy colonel or general at some Air Force base launched a strike on Russia with B-52s. And it would trigger the doomsday device and destroy the whole world. And knowing this, the Americans are trying to work with the Russians to stop the bomb from going off in Russia. They're helping the Russians try to stop the American pilot who's flying this B-52. And while they're doing this, there's a Russian that's down in the command and control center for the United States. The world is going to end, you understand, in a couple hours. And yet he is snapping pictures of the command and control center with his secret camera while he's down there. To me, this is a little bit like people that are buying stock in this company to deal with Ebola. One of two things is true. Either Ebola is going to be so devastating it won't make any difference if you have any stock, or Ebola has been badly hyped and it's not going to turn out to be that big a deal, in which case you're not going to make much money off of it. It goes up 180% here in a short period of time, it'll go back down. All right? So it's just, you look at it, and again, you are reminded of Shakespeare, I believe, you saying, what fools these mortals be. You know, we miss the big picture a lot of times, and this might be one of those instances. We'll see.
And you know what's amazing? All these pharmaceutical companies, all they're saying is, you know, these are all experimental drugs. And the other companies are also in Canada.
I've got experimental drugs here. If anybody wants to send me a couple thousand dollars, I got some stuff I can whip it up in the kitchen. You understand?
They're only talking about like 100 doses here, 200 doses there, and it could be another. I mean, it's really kind of, you know, somebody's making tons of money, but
for a while we'll watch and see, but. It is another one of those leaves in the breeze that tells us that the wind is blowing from the nut house, because the leaves are getting crazier and crazier. What else do we have, Melody?
Well, going around the world, since we're talking about Canada, now we'll talk about France, their socialist government. They have they're looking to cut back, and all we hear, we do know the ECB is looking to have a very similar quantitative easing program like our Federal Reserve did, Bernanke, who created in the purchases of bonds and so forth, and Europe is looking to do the same thing. And I guess Germany's numbers actually showed a decline for the first time in a long time.
And you mean their economic numbers?
Their economic numbers, yeah, are beginning to turn downward. But they're looking to, France is looking to do a €21 billion, or I should say a €21 billion cost-cutting plan. And that's actually been the deepest ever spending cuts in the country's modern history. And so the finance minister presenting his 2015 budget today, he says these cuts are crucial to our credibility in the eyes of the French and Europeans. They will be fully applied. A significant part of the savings is going to be made on France's generous welfare system. And of course, all the European nations have a generous welfare system, but
France is really
they're really
they make the communists, they say, holy crap,
but they're looking
you
to
see
cut
what those French are doing. My God, we never dreamed of that in the Soviet Union.
They're looking to cut €3.2 billion from health spending, €700 million in family benefits. They plan to diminish the number of state employees and limit wage increases. And France's debt is now above 2 trillion euros, and it represents about 95% of the gross domestic product. So France is in bad shape. And,
why are they in bad shape?
So are the rest of them.
Why are they in bad shape?
You tell us, Al.
It's because they have accepted some sort of a social philosophy that was ultimately stupid. They had some idea that you could live forever without having to work. You were entitled to work just a couple hours a week and take a who knows how big a vacation you got every week. And they thought they could create some sort of socialist paradise here on Earth, and now it's going to implode around their ears, and they're going to be lucky to find a dog or a cat to have for dinner. That's where they're headed right now. And they aren't going to want to go there. When they try to cut $21, $22 billion, if I understand what you said correctly. Did you say $21, $22 billion?
Euros, yes.
Yeah, euros. All right. That they want to reduce their spending by that amount of money.
21 billion.
They're going to have French people are going to be marching in the streets and demanding their free lunch. Where is my free lunch? I demand my free lunch. We as Frenchmen have a right to a free lunch. All right? And they're not going to get it. They might be able to. I mean, this is the kind of thing that's going to happen in this country, too. We've got people working for the government, for example, who in some instances are claiming pensions after working just 20 years. They don't wait till they're 65 to retire. They can retire at 45. They've got some idea that they're going to get that for the next day. They're going to retire at 45, and the peons, the chumps out there who pay income taxes, are going to continue to pay their way for an extra. They get 20 years more retirement than the average American. And they get a much higher payment on their retirement. And they've got an idea that this is going to keep working. They are like the French people over there that are going to march for their free lunch. And they're going to march for it soon. They try to cut out $22 billion. They're going to start marching and screaming. There's nothing to be done. It can't be helped. Same thing's going to happen to a lot of people who are counting on pensions, especially if those pensions were unearned, overpromised. There's going to be trouble, and maybe even trouble. I want to thank all of you for listening. We're out of time. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back mañana. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it? There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Money, money, money. Money, money, always sunny in a rich man.